Divorce Then Love. Chapter 521. The smile on Kylie's face froze, her eyes filled with disbelief. Maxim. You promised me before, to take care of me until I gave birth, have you forgotten? Maxim looked at her coldly, I did promise you, but I regret it now. Initially, Kylie had told him that as long as he took care of her until she gave birth to the child, the debt that the Yoder family owed her would be considered paid in full. Maxim had agreed at that time, but what he got in return was the increasing distance between him and Brianna over the past 6 months. It was only at this moment that he realized how foolish his decision had been. Kylie bit her lower lip, tears shimmering in her eyes. Was it because of my sister? Seeing him openly admit it, the tears in her eyes finally fell, as she looked at him with a face full of grievance. Is my sister really that narrow-minded? Is she afraid that your old feelings for me will rekindle? So she doesn't allow you to continue taking care of me. Maxim looked at her indifferently, you're overthinking it. She had no objections to me taking care of you, it's just that I didn't want to impose on her any longer. Unfair? Wasn't it unfair to me? It was clearly me who fell in love with you first back then. If it weren't for what happened later, the child I should be carrying now would be yours. Kylie. Impatience flashed in Maxim's eyes, his gaze as cold as ice. What's past is past, I don't want to bring it up again, and I hope you can move on soon. We've been impossible for a long time. Kylie clutched the blanket tightly, speaking slowly and deliberately, it's impossible now, so I never thought about having anything with you. I just hoped you could take care of me until I gave birth to the child. Is that wrong? The debt the Yoder family owes you, I will repay in another way. Don't call me again in the future. After speaking, Maxim turned around and left directly. Kylie watched his retreating figure, the aggrieved expression on her face gradually turning into a cold sneer. It seemed that her efforts over the past 6 months had been useful. Now, there were problems in the relationship between Maxim and Brianna. Once the time was right, she could tell Brianna about that matter. Maxim had just turned the corner of the corridor when he was suddenly punched by someone. The opponent was very strong, he had to step back a few steps before he could stand firm, and a severe pain came from his cheekbone. Just as I looked up, I met a pair of eyes filled with anger. Maxim, I hid that matter initially, hoping that Brianna could happily be with you. But then you came to the hospital to take care of pregnant Kylie. What did you consider Brianna as? Seeing the hospital gown on Hector, Maxim paused, something flashed quickly in his mind, but he couldn't grasp it. This was my private matter, it was not Mr. Baldwin's place to interfere. Hector sneered, if it wasn't for Brianna, do you think I would care about your damn problems? Maxim's face turned cold, Brianna is my girlfriend, whatever I do, I will naturally explain it to her. Did she know you were taking care of another woman in the middle of the night? I said, it's not your turn to care. A flash of increased anger appeared in Hector's eyes as he swung his fist at Maxim once again. This time, Maxim caught his hand, coldly saying, Mr. Baldwin, considering you once saved Brianna, I will let it slide this time, but if there is a next time. Before he could finish speaking, Hector impatiently interrupted him. What if there is a next time? Are you planning to blacklist me, or are you planning to ruin the Baldwin family? Seeing the arrogance in Hector's eyes, Maxim's gaze grew even colder. Since Mr. Baldwin knew the consequences, he should not have appeared in front of me and her again. Chapter 522. Hector glared at him angrily, gritting his teeth, and said, "Aren't you afraid I'll tell Brianna about that?" Maxim's pupils suddenly contracted, then he said coldly, "Even if you tell her, she won't fall in love with you, and you can't bear the consequences." After speaking, Maxim let go of him, turned around, and left directly. Hector stared intently at his retreating figure, only taking his eyes off him when he disappeared from sight. Back in the car, Maxim's face was icy cold. It took him a long time to start the car and leave. When Hector said he would tell Brianna about that matter, a sudden pang of panic surged in his heart, as if he was about to lose Brianna. He had been through so much with Brianna, he would never let go of her hand again, no matter what. Suddenly, he wondered if the medical information Brianna had looked up was related to Hector. He dialed Ryan's number, saying coldly, "Check why Hector was hospitalized, and whether he met with Brianna while I was on a business trip." Ryan was very fast. As soon as Maxim returned to Elm Bay, the notification sound from his mailbox rang out. After looking at it for a while, Maxim's face turned extremely ugly. Sure enough, his guess was not wrong. Brianna was researching those medical materials for Hector. If Brianna had known that Hector was hospitalized because he saved her, she would never have forgiven herself. Maxim's gaze gradually cooled, and he made a call to Ryan. "Find a doctor who is proficient in craniotomy, both domestically and internationally. As long as they can perform the surgery on Hector, bring them all back, regardless of the cost. As soon as possible." Ryan was also aware of the incident where Hector rushed into the fire to save Brianna, and he quickly said, "I'm on my way." After hanging up the phone, Maxim pushed open the car door and got out. As soon as he entered, he saw Brianna sitting on the living room couch, watching a movie. Hearing the sound of the door opening, she asked without turning her head, "Where have you been?" Maxim paused in the act of changing his shoes, murmuring, "There's something going on at the company." Brianna pursed her lips, not saying anything more. Maxim walked over and sat down next to her, about to speak when he noticed her phone screen lit up on the table. Displayed on it was a photo of him accompanying Kylie to the hospital, along with a bold headline, "The president of the Yoder Group spotted at the accident scene of the second Miss Schneider, suspected old flames rekindled." The atmosphere stagnated for a few seconds, and Maxim's face instantly turned extremely ugly. "Brianna, let me explain." No sooner had the words fallen than Brianna looked at him expressionlessly. "What else is there to explain? Is it to explain that you went to see Kylie? Or to explain the fact that you lied to me?" Seeing the indifference in her eyes, a pang of pain hit Maxim's heart. He remained silent for a while before slowly saying, "It was wrong of me to deceive you, I'm sorry. This time I went to see Kylie, I wanted to make it clear to her that I won't answer her calls or meet with her anymore." Brianna's expression didn't change in the slightest, her tone was incredibly calm. "Maxim, Do you believe what you're saying? What I said was true. Brianna laughed bitterly, her eyes filled with sorrow. If it's true, why did you lie to me? I was afraid that you would get angry. Were you afraid of me getting angry? Then what have you been doing for the past 6 months? Didn't you know I would mind when you answered Kylie's calls in front of me every time? Didn't you know I would be upset when you went to the hospital to see her every time? You knew all of this, but you still went, because in your eyes, the debt you owed to Kylie and the Yoder family was more important than my feelings, wasn't it? Chapter 523. Facing Brianna's questioning, Maxim's face gradually turned ugly. He gripped Brianna's shoulders, looking into her eyes seriously and said, "No, besides wanting to repay the favor, I also wanted to see your attitude towards me. I was waiting for you to be jealous. In the past 6 months, if you had told me once that you minded, I would have immediately set boundaries with Kylie." Brianna brushed off his hand, her gaze gradually turning icy. "Wasn't it your responsibility to set boundaries with her? Why did you have to wait for me to say it? Couldn't you have done it on your own? Initiative." Maxim pursed his thin lips, his voice low, "Because I'm not sure if I'm still in your heart." Brianna was amused to the point of laughter, her tone mocking as she spoke, "I don't care why you ran to save yourself. I don't care why you stood by your side firmly when you were slandered by Jennifer. I don't care why you silently endured half a year of your dealings with Kylie. Brianna, I'm sorry." Brianna stood up, looking down at him, and said word by word, "If our relationship has to be tested like this, I think we both need to seriously consider whether we should continue." Maxim panicked and quickly reached out to grab Brianna's hand, but she swiftly dodged him. "The company has been quite busy these past few days, so I decided to stay at the company." After speaking, she turned around and went upstairs to pack her things directly. When he saw her leaving with her suitcase, Maxim suddenly stood up and blocked her way. "Brianna, let's have a serious talk. I don't want to give you the cold shoulder." Brianna's expression was indifferent. "I'm not giving you the cold shoulder, I just want to cool off for a few days." Being calm wasn't necessarily in the company, it was the same here. "Please move aside." Maxim stood at the door, refusing to let go. The two were at a stalemate for a while. Brianna put down her suitcase, a flash of impatience in her eyes. "What on earth did you want?" No sooner had the words fallen than Maxim suddenly grasped her hand. Brianna frowned, tried to break free but failed, and simply couldn't be bothered anymore. "Brianna, I know I've disappointed you these past 6 months, but I'm also afraid of losing you. Even though you're right by my side, I always feel like you're far away from me. I'm afraid that one day you'll suddenly realize you don't love me and want to break up with me." Brianna fell silent for a moment, looking at Maxim. She said, "I never preconceived spending a lifetime with you." Maxim's face changed instantly. "What do you mean?" "At that moment, we liked each other, which was why we were together. If our feelings continued to intensify, we might have considered remarrying. But if there came a day when we no longer had feelings for each other, I would have walked away. So, we would have taken our relationship as far as fate allowed. I was not firmly convinced that we would be together for a lifetime. If she had initially assumed that they would be together for a lifetime, she might have found it very difficult to move on in case things didn't go as planned. She wouldn't let herself fall into such a situation again. So, you were prepared to leave me at any time, that's why you didn't care about me meeting Kylie. Brianna was somewhat helpless. You misunderstood. I don't not care, it's just that I won't argue with you over this like before. After all, we've been through so much, what should be done and what shouldn't, I think you should know in your heart. Maxim was silent for a long time, slowly releasing her hand and saying, I don't know why, but hearing you say that, I feel like you're further away from me. I also felt even more upset in my heart. Chapter 524. Brianna eventually moved to the company, and that same night, Kylie received the news. If it weren't for the fact that she was still pregnant, she would have loved to open a bottle of champagne to celebrate in the hospital room. After the initial joy, Kylie began to plan when to tell Brianna about the matter, not even noticing when the door of the ward was pushed open and a dark figure walked in. It was not until a shadow fell over his head that Kylie belatedly looked up. Upon recognizing the person standing by the bedside, her face turned pale with fright, and her first instinct was to run. However, before she could move, she was pinned down on the sick bed by the other party, with a knife held against her neck. Kylie, long time no see. Kylie was pale, her lips trembling. Isaac. You let me go. Isaac smiled softly, his gaze lingering on her protruding belly for a few seconds, and slowly said, Don't worry, even if you betray me, I won't do anything to you, after all, you're still carrying my child in your belly. He had originally thought that he would never have children in his lifetime, until the moment Kylie decided to keep the baby. He was filled with uncontrollable excitement, wishing he could immediately go to her. However, his injury hadn't healed at that time, so he could only lie low in the shadows. Later, he found out that Cold Knight was the murderer who killed his parents. He had been waiting for an opportunity until he severely injured Mr. K and managed to escape. This time he came back, not only to witness the birth of his own child, but also to seek revenge on Maxim. Kylie instinctively protected her stomach, coldly saying, This child has nothing to do with you, it's mine alone. This child carries my blood in his veins, it's not truly yours just because you say it is. Seeing his calm demeanor, and indeed no intention to harm herself, Kylie gritted her teeth and said, What on earth do you want? Of course, I came to pick you and the child up to leave. Are you insane? There's no way I'm going with you, and I'm not handing over the child to you either. Having you as a father is a disgrace to him. Upon hearing this, Isaac's face turned cold, and a murderous intent emerged in his eyes. You have the nerve to say that? If it wasn't for you tipping off Maxim in the first place, you would be the wife of the president of the Yoder Group now. All of this was caused by your stupidity. Kylie sneered, Isaac, do you take me for a fool? You never intended to marry me, did you? Do you think I would believe your lies? Isaac stared into her eyes, slowly saying, Believe it or not, I'm taking the child away. You're dreaming. There's no future for the child with you. At least in the Schneider family, they could have a stable life. Now the police are after you, Maxim's people are looking for you too. Are you going to drag the child into a life of hiding and running? Isaac was silent for a moment, seemingly finding Kylie's words reasonable, and slowly said, "Let's talk about it after you give birth to the child." Perhaps by then, he had already killed Maxim, successfully splashing all the dirty water on him. Kylie looked at him coldly, didn't say a word, but her eyes clearly showed rejection. Isaac had also taken a risk to see Kylie today, whispering, "I have other matters to attend to, don't tell anyone you've seen me. You should know, I despise those who betray me the most." After speaking, Isaac left quickly. Kylie didn't call out, but instead lowered her gaze and pondered for a moment. If she could use Isaac to get rid of Brianna, it would be killing two birds with one stone for her. Brianna had died, Maxim would definitely not let Isaac off. Once these two people were dead, there would be no one to stop her from being with Maxim anymore. Brianna had been staying in the company for a few days when Melody finally noticed something was off. Chapter 525. Brianna, Maxim just got back from a business trip, shouldn't you two be all over each other right now? Why are you staying at the company, did you have a fight? Brianna's signing motion paused as she looked up at her and said, "If you're not busy, negotiate a few more collaborations. After my corporation goes public successfully, I'll have plenty of time to chat with you about gossip." Upon hearing this, Melody quickly shook her head, "No, no, no, I'm very busy. After you sign this contract, I have to go to work immediately. I'm really busy." Seeing her pretending to be busy with her head down, Brianna couldn't help but chuckle, without exposing her. Melody grabbed the documents and left in a hurry, as if something was chasing her from behind. After the office door was closed, Brianna put down the pen in her hand and stared blankly at the documents in front of her. Since the day they parted on bad terms at the villa, neither of them had sent messages to each other for the past few days. Brianna still felt a bit upset inside. If Maxim had come to comfort her, she might have already made up with him. Thinking of this, a wave of irritation suddenly surged in my heart again. Buzz, buzz, buzz. The phone on the table suddenly rang. Brianna quickly picked it up, a flash of disappointment crossing her eyes when she saw it was Wyatt. As soon as it connected, Wyatt's somewhat solemn voice came through. "Junior sister, Hector had been taking traditional medicine for a week, but it didn't seem to work well. He still needed surgery to remove the blood clot." Brianna's face changed. She quickly said, "Send me the latest report." "Good." Soon, there was an extra email in the mailbox. Brianna quickly clicked open, seeing the bruise on the back of his head had grown larger, her face instantly turned incredibly pale. Before the surgery, she had a 50% chance, but now it's only 30%. "Junior sister, many experts from both domestic and abroad have come recently, but none of them dared to perform the surgery. If the surgery is not performed soon, the hematoma in the back of his brain is likely to continue to enlarge." Brianna bit her lower lip. "Senior brother, I previously had a 50% chance, now it's only 30%. 30% was already very high. Those experts all said there was only a 10% chance, so they didn't dare to perform the surgery. After all, being completely certain was no different from declaring that the surgery could not succeed. If the surgery was successful, it would naturally boost their reputation. However, if the surgery was not successful, the Baldwin family would not let them off the hook. Brianna was silent for a moment, then slowly said, "Let me think about this. If it had been just an ordinary patient, she wouldn't have felt any psychological burden if her best efforts to save them had failed. But if Hector had died on her operating table, she might never have been able to move on." On the other side, Ryan had also informed Maxim about Hector's situation. Maxim's expression was icy cold, "Keep searching. I refuse to believe that there isn't a single doctor in the world who dares to perform this surgery." Ryan sighed, "Mr. Yoder, we've found the top neurosurgeons. If they all think the surgery only has a 10% success rate, other doctors probably wouldn't even give it that much." I said, "Keep searching. If you can't find it, keep raising the price. We absolutely cannot let him die. If Brianna knew that Hector had died to save her, and that she had been keeping it from her all along, she would never forgive herself." Thinking of this, Maxim felt that wave of anxiety surge up again. After hesitating for a while, he picked up his phone and sent a message to Brianna. "Brianna, let's have dinner together tonight. I'll be waiting for you at the usual place." Chapter 526. After sending the message, Maxim felt something was not quite right and quickly added another sentence. "I went to pick you up." After a few minutes, Brianna finally responded, "Okay." It was just a word, yet Maxim's heartbeat involuntarily quickened, more excited than when he closed his first deal. Evening off work time arrived quickly. Maxim asked the driver to give him the keys, and he personally drove to wait for Brianna under the My Corporation building. After waiting for more than half an hour, Brianna suddenly sent a message. "When did you arrive?" Maxim immediately dialed her number. "Brianna, I'm downstairs right now." Brianna frowned, packing her things and walking out. "When did you get here? Why didn't you tell me?" "I arrived half an hour ago, but I didn't want to disturb you because I thought you might be busy, so I decided to wait for you downstairs." "All right, I'm going to take the elevator now. Let's leave it at that for now." 5 minutes later, Brianna opened the car door and got into the car. "Let's go." Maxim slowly started the car and merged into the traffic, his eyes fixed on the road ahead, driving in silence. Because we hadn't seen or contacted each other for a week, the atmosphere in the car was somewhat subtle for a moment. "You. Today." The two spoke at the same time, looked at each other, and then closed their mouths simultaneously. Maxim's grip on the steering wheel gradually tightened as he spoke, "You go first. Did you look for me today because you had something to say?" "Nothing much, just wanted to ask how your consideration was going." Brianna pursed her lips. "What were your thoughts on this matter?" "I didn't want to break up." As these words fell, the carriage once again plunged into silence. Until they reached the restaurant entrance, neither of them spoke again. Entering the restaurant and ordering the dishes, Maxim only then looked at Brianna. "Brianna, I really didn't want to part ways with you. I also knew that I had done many things in the past that hurt you and disappointed you. I hoped you could give me another chance. Brianna looked at him. I know you were involved with Kylie before because she saved your grandmother and your mother, but I can't accept her constantly intruding into many details of our relationship. Sorry. I didn't come here today to hear you say sorry. I've thought a lot these past few days. I'm sure I still love you, but if you continue to associate with Kylie, I don't know how long this love can last. The day my feelings for you run out, I won't look back. Maxim's face changed. I won't let that day come. Brianna looked at her. Seriousness filled her eyes. You said before that you would set boundaries with her. I hope you can keep your word. Maxim took her hand. I promise, I will repay this favor in another way in the future. After the two reconciled, Brianna moved back into the villa. However, Maxim was still somewhat anxious inside, as they were only dating at the moment, and Brianna could break up with him at any time. Especially since he was hiding from Brianna the fact that they hadn't divorced. Knowing this, she might really leave him in a fit of anger. Chapter 527. Maxim pondered for a long time, and finally came up with a solution. He decided to propose to Brianna. If Brianna didn't agree, he would keep asking until the day she agreed. Maxim was a man of action. He immediately contacted Ryan, asking him to air freight Brianna's favorite top-notch champagne roses, as he was preparing to propose. Hearing this, Ryan also became somewhat excited, feeling relieved that Maxim had finally come to his senses, and immediately called to order flowers. On the other side, Wyatt had someone deliver the prepared traditional medicine to my corporation every day. Back and forth, Melody couldn't help but tease Brianna. I didn't expect Maxim to be so considerate, having someone prepare traditional medicine for you every day. But I remember you just had a physical examination last month, and the results were all normal, right? This isn't fertility medicine, is it? Brianna almost spat out her medicine, giving her an annoyed look. The doctor said I'm weak. This is a medicine for nourishing blood and energy. Melody glanced up and down, nodding thoughtfully. Indeed, with your small frame, I'm afraid you might not be able to keep up with Maxim's pace. Brianna. After taking the medicine, she turned to Melody and said, that traditional medicine was prepared for me by a doctor friend of mine. It has nothing to do with Maxim. Melody raised an eyebrow. Such a considerate doctor friend, it wouldn't be a man, would it? Brianna looked speechless. Is there a difference between men and women? If it were a man, your Mr. Yoder would definitely be jealous. He wouldn't pay attention to such trivial matters. Melody chuckled. That's not necessarily the case. Brianna handed her the signed document. All right, go get to work. She hadn't expected that Melody's words would come true so quickly. Returning to the villa in the evening, she saw that Maxim had already prepared the meal. Brianna looked surprised. What's the occasion today? How come you cooked yourself? Maxim quietly served her a bowl of black chicken soup, whispering, how does it taste? Brianna took a sip and couldn't help but frown. Why does it taste like traditional medicine? Maxim chuckled. Black chicken needs to be cooked with traditional medicine. That way, the chicken soup that's stewed will be more nutritious, much more beneficial than pure traditional medicine. Hearing his sarcastic words, Brianna knew that Maxim had found out about Wyatt having someone deliver traditional medicine to her every day. She put down the bowl, opening her mouth with a bit of a headache. "Who told you?" "Who told me is not important. What matters is why you, being weak, let Wyatt make medicine for you. Shouldn't this be something your boyfriend does? Are you jealous?" "Shouldn't I have been jealous?" Brianna choked a bit. "No, I just happened to run into him at the hospital last time. He said I had lost a lot of weight, then casually took my pulse and said I was physically weak and needed to drink traditional medicine to replenish my strength. So, he conveniently prescribed me some medicine." Maxim looked at her coldly. "Then why wasn't it you who brought back the prescription? Why is it him who brews it for you every day? Wyatt is so busy, would he care so much about an insignificant patient?" Brianna frowned. "I'm not happy to hear that. Every patient is important. How come I'm not important? Besides, he didn't make the medicine himself, it was made by the staff in his pharmacy. What's the difference? You might as well tell me, why was Wyatt special to you compared to others? Did you know each other before?" Brianna hadn't expected him to be so sharp, and quickly said, "Didn't I meet him 4 years ago when he treated your leg? And when Grandma was poisoned, I also asked him for help, don't you remember? He was a miracle doctor, yet he was at your beck and call. Isn't that very strange?" Brianna's eyelid twitched, suddenly feeling a bit guilty. That was because he happened to be free, otherwise he definitely wouldn't have bothered with me. Maxim took a deep breath, trying to keep voice as calm as possible. "Brianna, you seem very familiar with him, as if you've known him for many years. Are you sure you only met him 4 years ago when you found someone to treat my leg?" Chapter 528. "Yeah, what are you doubting? When I met him, is that important?" Maxim fell silent for a moment, lowering his gaze and said, "Starting from tomorrow, don't let him deliver your medicine anymore. I will go get the prescription from him and have someone prepare it for you every day." Brianna originally wanted to ask, "What's the difference?" But seeing Maxim's serious expression, she could only nod and say, "All right, I'll do as you say." The two finished their meal and, after watching a movie together, they each returned to their rooms to rest. Near noon the next day, Brianna had received a call from Wyatt. "Brianna, Maxim seems to be quite attentive to you. This morning, he was waiting at the door of my clinic before it even opened. He asked me not to decoct the medicine for you anymore, but to give him the prescription so he could find someone else to do it." Detecting the teasing tone in Wyatt's voice, Brianna raised an eyebrow. "You just gave him the prescription like that?" "Of course not, my prescriptions are very expensive. However, considering he's your man, I gave him a discount and only charged him $2 million. Isn't that a great deal?" Brianna couldn't help but grind her teeth. How dare they say it was a good deal when it was in such a terrible condition? "Senior brother, your ability to trick people is really as good as ever. Too kind, too kind. By the way, how have you considered Hector's situation? If he doesn't have surgery soon, it might quickly become life-threatening." Detecting the gravity in Wyatt's tone, Brianna bit her lower lip, her eyes full of hesitation. Senior brother, he was my friend. He was also a patient at the same time. Brianna sighed, I'm afraid that if the surgery fails, I might never be able to get over it in my lifetime. Wyatt frowned, if you're willing to save him, then he still has a chance to live. If you don't save him, his only fate is to wait for death. You ask me to think again. There wasn't much time left, he had to have surgery in 3 days. You should think it over carefully, but don't put too much pressure on yourself. As a doctor, just do your best. There are many things that we can't control. All right, I understood. After hanging up the phone, Wyatt called Hector's primary doctor and informed him about the matter. In the hospital, in Hector's ward. Ever since Hector found out about the blood clot in the back of his head and that the success rate of surgery was only 10%, the thing he did most every day was to stare out the window in a daze. Keith also didn't know how to comfort him, he could only silently accompany him. At the same time, Keith was becoming increasingly dissatisfied with Brianna. If it wasn't for saving Brianna, Hector wouldn't have fainted and been hit by the chandelier, let alone be waiting for death at such a young age. Keith looked irritated and said to Hector, "Why don't you just have the surgery? There's still a 10% chance. If you don't have the surgery, you're just waiting to die." Hector turned his head and glanced at him, saying indifferently, "Is there any difference between having 1% and having none?" Since he was going to die anyway, he wanted to choose a less painful way, and he didn't want to die on the operating table. Keith ran his fingers through his hair, "If you're not willing to have the surgery, at the very least you should tell Brianna that you're like this because you saved her. Otherwise, even if you die, she won't feel the slightest bit of guilt." Hector gave a bitter smile, "I should have been swept away by the flood when Rosecliff Village was flooded. It was her who saved me and allowed me to survive. Now, I'm just returning to the outcome in Rosecliff Village. I've lived a little longer, so it's not a loss." Chapter 529. You were only 22. You were so young, the most promising actor under my wing, how could I accept the fact that you wouldn't live past half a year? Hector looked calm, about to speak, when the door to the ward was suddenly pushed open. The butler of the Baldwin family wheeled Albert in. "What were you here for?" Hector's eyes were filled with coldness and disgust, even carrying a faint hint of hatred. Albert coughed lightly and said angrily, "Why didn't you tell me about something as serious as your illness? What do you think I'm here for?" Hector sneered, "So now you realize you're a father? Where were you when my mom was sick and we had no money for her treatment? Where were you when I was kneeling on the ground begging for a bun? I had no connection with you in the past, and I won't have any in the future." "Nonsense. In the past, I felt guilty towards you and your mother, so I let you do whatever you wanted. I won't indulge you like this anymore. Pack up immediately and come back to Hazeton with me. I will find the best doctor to treat you. No need, authorities in neurology from all over the world have seen it, they couldn't perform the surgery, I only had half a year left." Upon hearing this, Albert's face turned ashen with anger, he gritted his teeth and said, "Impossible. I won't let you die. You must live on, and inherit the Baldwin Group." Hector found it somewhat amusing that when he and his mother couldn't afford to eat and needed money in the past, Albert just stood by and watched coldly. All he needed was to say one word, and he and his mother would not have to starve or freeze anymore. His mother would not have to run around for money, exhaust herself to sickness, and die with resentment in the end. He no longer needed money then, yet they presented the Baldwin Group to him on a silver platter, asking him to take over the Baldwin Group. "If you don't believe me, you can ask the doctor yourself. I'm tired and need to rest. Please leave, and there's no need to come back in the future." After speaking, Hector lay down directly, closed his eyes and said to Keith, "Keith, see the guest out." "You?" Albert's face turned livid with anger, wishing he could raise his cane and hit Hector hard. No one had ever dared to speak to him like that before. However, Hector was his only son, who, no matter what, had to survive and inherit the Baldwin Group. Keith walked up to him and said in a low voice, "Mr. Baldwin, please." Albert ignored him, watching Hector's retreating figure. He said, "I'm going to see the doctor first to understand the situation. You must come back to Hazeton with me tomorrow. Get out." Albert stormed out of the ward angrily. On his way to the doctor's office, he couldn't help but rage, "If it weren't for him being my only son, I wouldn't care less about his life or death." The butler remained silent in the background. After all, this was the master's business. If he spoke too much, he might be fired on the spot. Originally, Albert didn't believe that Hector's health was so poor that he only had half a year left. But after hearing the words of the attending physician, as well as the analysis of several other internationally renowned doctors, he suddenly began to lose confidence. "Gunnar, you sent these reports to the family doctor and asked for his opinion."
"Yes, sir."
"Soon," the family doctor responded. However, what he said was even more serious than what the other doctors had said, even suggesting that Hector might not live more than 3 months. For all these years, Albert's condition had always been stabilized by this family doctor. Even if he didn't trust other doctors, he would never doubt the words of his family doctor. If Hector had died, wouldn't the Baldwin Group soon be without an heir? Thinking of this, he looked at the attending physician and said, "Isn't there any other way to save him? Money is not an issue. As long as he can get better, I will pay any amount." The attending physician shook his head helplessly. "Mr. Baldwin, half a year is our longest estimate. If the patient's condition deteriorates." Chapter 530. Albert's face suddenly turned incredibly ugly. He gritted his teeth and said coldly, "I'm going to discharge him."
"You quacks.
There must be a doctor in Hazeton who can cure him." No sooner had the words been spoken than the attending physician sighed. "Dr. David, the neurology authority from Hazeton's first hospital, was here a few days ago. If surgery is performed, he only has a 10% chance of success." A flash of shock passed through Albert's eyes. He knew Dr. David, the top doctor at the first hospital. There was basically no patient he couldn't save. In the upper social circles of Hazeton, there was a saying that even if you were down to your last breath, you could still be pulled back. If Dr. David also didn't have a grasp on it, that meant there really was no hope.
The office had been silent for a long time before Albert had the butler push him away. After leaving the hospital, he said coldly, "Take me to Maxim." Hector ended up like this because he saved Maxim's wife. He wouldn't let it go just like that. In less than half an hour, Albert had arrived at Maxim's office. "Mr. Yoder, did you know that my son is lying in the hospital, nearly dead, because he saved your wife?" Maxim met Albert's angry gaze with a calm expression, slowly saying, "I know, I was looking for authoritative neurologists both domestically and internationally to help him with his illness." Albert sneered, "Hector is the heir to the Baldwin Group, and Mr. Yoder thinks he can dismiss me with just a suggestion to find a doctor." Maxim's eyes turned cold. "What does Mr. Baldwin want? If Hector was dead, I would make the Yoder Group pay." No sooner had the words fallen than the temperature in Maxim's office plummeted rapidly, almost enough to freeze a person to death. Maxim looked at him coldly, "Mr. Baldwin, this is not Hazeton, and the Yoder Group is not a lamb to be slaughtered. Before you say this, I hope you can weigh whether you really have the ability to deal with the Yoder Group. If my son were dead, what use would I have for the Baldwin Group? Even if it meant bankrupting the Baldwin Group to destroy the Yoder Group, I wouldn't hesitate. Mr. Baldwin could certainly give it a try." Both of them stared at each other with icy glares, as if sparks were flying in the air, filled with the scent of gunpowder. "Gunnar, let's go." After leaving the Yoder Group, Albert said angrily, "Maxim is absolutely outrageous." Gunnar fell silent for a moment, but couldn't help saying, "Sir, there's something I'm not sure if I should say." Albert glanced at him, "You've worked for the Baldwin family for so many years, when have you ever said something you shouldn't? Just say it." Gunnar sighed slowly and said, "You heard what those doctors just said. It seems that young Master Hector's illness is incurable. Instead of wasting energy looking for doctors everywhere, it would be better to let young Master Hector leave a seed for the Baldwin family before he dies. At worst, you will have to work hard for another 10 or so years to raise young Master Hector's child." After a pause, he continued, "Moreover, the child you raise yourself will certainly be more obedient than young Master Hector." Upon hearing this, Albert was struck with a thought, but then he frowned and said, "But with his personality, he wouldn't listen to me at all." Gunnar chuckled softly, "Sir, you seem to have forgotten. The woman Master Hector is fond of is none other than Mr. Yoder's wife. If we were to send Mr. Yoder's wife to Master Hector's bed, do you think he would still refuse?" Albert frowned and spoke unhappily, "How is a woman who has been married before worthy of entering the Baldwin family's door?" The most important thing was that Master Hector liked it, and it could also take revenge on the Yoder Group. It was a win-win situation. Albert pondered for a moment, a smile tugging at the corner of his mouth. He nodded and said, "Gunnar, your idea is absolutely brilliant. Let's do it your way." Early the next morning, not long after Brianna had left the house, she noticed that someone was following her.